Today we begin. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. We're going to have communion at the end of this. I walked in this morning, one of the young girls asked me, one young lady, we're doing water baptism and communion? I said, yeah, we're starting a new year off right. Amen. So we're going to do that. And I do believe this. God wants to resurrect something in your life today. God wants to resurrect something in your life. Ben was talking about some ashes and God bringing life to those. And some of you think that you've lost hope. God is in the business of resurrecting hope. Amen? And I hope you know that. I hope you realize that. I hope you get a sense that God wants to do something special in your life. Amen? Yeah. So we've been going through, if you're a guest here today, we've been going through the Gospel of Mark, plot by plot, moment by moment, scripture by scripture. And today we find ourselves in Mark chapter 10, verse 32. Jesus talks about his passion again. It's the third time in the Gospel of Mark he's talked about what's ahead of him. It is coming. Trouble. How many of you know trouble never dissuaded Jesus from walking forward? It didn't intimidate him. He didn't go back from. He marched toward. There's a good lesson in there for us. Never let fear intimidate you from accomplishing what God wants to do in your life. It's coming. Listen, Mark chapter 10, verse 32 says this. They were on their way, going up to Jerusalem. Jesus was going ahead of them, and they were amazed. But those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was going to happen to him. Look, we're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the experts in the law. They will condemn him to death and they will turn him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him severely, and kill him. Yet, after 3 days, he will rise again. Lord, in the next few moments, captivate our hearts with your word and by the work of your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be instruments in your hands. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the work of your Holy Spirit in this season of our church, this season of our lives. May your word work boldly in us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here Jesus is. He's just had a conversation with the rich young ruler. He's talked about what it takes to get into the kingdom of God. And now he's on a march toward Jerusalem. Toward Jerusalem. It's the first time Jerusalem is mentioned in the Gospel of Mark. It's the first time the resurrection is mentioned in relationship to Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. So he's on a mission to get to Jerusalem. It's up on a hill, the scripture says. And anywhere you know, if you've been in the Holy Land in Israel, it's all up Jerusalem. It's a holy city. And Jesus marches straight into trouble. He marches straight into God's will that was full of trouble. Scripture says, Jesus goes ahead of them. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he's a good shepherd that goes ahead of his sheep. You need to understand that about Jesus. You may find yourself in a difficult time, in a difficult situation. He has been there. He goes ahead of you into difficult places. He goes ahead of you to prepare the place, to prepare circumstances and situations. It is in the heart of Jesus to go ahead of his people. He goes ahead of us in suffering. He goes ahead of us in death. He goes ahead of us in resurrection. Matter of fact, the scripture calls him the first fruits. Because he died and rose again, our hope is in heaven. And he is seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. You need not fear tomorrow because God is there. He goes ahead of us. There is this resolve in the heart of Jesus to march steadfast into trouble for your sake, for my sake. In Isaiah 50, verse 7, it says this, "But the sovereign Lord helps me, so I am not humiliated. For that reason, I am steadfastly resolved. I know I will not be put to shame." How many of you know the followers of Jesus will not be put to shame? We will not be put to shame. It's what Jesus does. He goes ahead of us. In Mark 14, 28, after I am raised, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Mark 16, 7 and 8, "But go, tell his disciples, even Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you." Then he went out and ran from the tomb, for terror and bewilderment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Listen to what it said. The scriptures were, the disciples were amazed, but followed anyway. They were afraid, and they followed anyway. Sometimes in the midst of what you're afraid of, you need to keep stepping. You need to keep moving. That's what Jesus did for the disciples. They followed him. They were afraid. I'm reminded of Paul in the prison. I'm reminded of Paul when he's writing a letter to Timothy. It's the time of Nero. And the historians tell us that Nero had a habit of lighting Christians on fire to light the night. And it is there in that prison cell. Paul can probably smell the odor of what's going on in the city around him. And he writes to Timothy, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I thank God that the Christians who precede us never gave in to doubt or fear, but marched forward in faith." And I think it is the season for us to seize that word that Paul gave young Timothy and gives us. I'm glad to know a God who is able to give us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Not to be cowering under fear, but marching forward to the destiny he has prepared for us. I find it amazing that the early Christians in the light and in the sight of lions kept marching, kept testifying, kept witnessing, kept lifting up the banner of Jesus Christ. It's our job, it's our season, not to give in to fear, but to keep stepping and keep journeying, because the Holy Spirit is with us. Is with us. He took the 12 aside. Don't you just love that? There's been a time and two in my life when I needed God to take me aside. Some of you in this room, God needs to, you need to give permission for God just to kind of take you aside. Speak a little hope in your life. Speak a little courage in your life. That's what he does. I think he wants to take you aside. The question is, do we give God time for him to do that in our lives? To tell you, to show you his care for your life. Here's what I find amazing. Jesus knows what's ahead of him. more than the disciples. He knows what's ahead for them. The betrayal, the fear, the worry. He is trying to prepare them. And he's trying to prepare us. 2020 was not something unknown to God. 2020 was something that happened to prepare us for what's ahead. And now you have a choice. You can cower in fear, or you can rise up in faith. You can cower in fear, or you can rise up in the power of the resurrection and know that the God who slays dragons and parts red seas is the one who marches ahead of you. Thank you, Jesus. Are you amazed at the resolve in the heart of Jesus? I am. He knows what's ahead of him, and he keeps marching. The resolve of Jesus to complete the task. I'm amazed at the resolve in the heart of Jesus to do all of that for you, for me. I don't know about you, but he did something for you. For me, that nobody else could do. He was so committed to your redemption, to your deliverance, to your healing. He marched steadfast into the grave. Because he knew on the other side was a resurrection. Glory to God. Don't be discouraged. These disciples, they followed Jesus in fear, but they kept following. Don't give up. Keep following, because if you keep following, the faith will dismantle the fear, because his love will dismantle the fear. Amen. Here Jesus is before the disciples. He pulls them aside and he gives them the most prolific statement about his passion. I'm going into Jerusalem. They're going to try me. They're going to pluck my beard out. They're going to spit on me. He tells them everything. The Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests, the experts of the law. They will condemn him to death. They will turn him over to the Gentiles. They will mock, spit on him, flog him severely, and kill him. How did Jesus know that? So people that like to manipulate the word say, well, Mark's just kind of putting words in Jesus' mouth because he already knows what's happened, and therefore he's just putting words in Jesus' mouth that he said kind of make it look like prophecy. But what if, which I believe to be true, Jesus read the Old Testament and he knew from what had been prophesied and what he had instigated in the mouth of the prophet what was ahead for him? I want to remind you of Psalm 22. Psalm 22, you should read that when you get home. It begins with this: my God, why have you forsaken me? Does that sound familiar? It's the psalm of the cross. And what he went through on the cross is written pretty explicitly in Psalm 22. Matter of fact, in verse 6 and 8, it says this: but I am a worm, not a man. People will insult me and despise me. All who see me will taunt me. They mock me and shake their heads. They say, commit yourself to the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let the Lord deliver him, for he delights in him. How many of you know the Lord did deliver him? Hallelujah. In the natural sight, he was done. He was over. The disciples were dismayed and afraid. The disciples scattered. But on the third day, he rose again. Hallelujah. Why? he goes before us in triumphant victory. In Isaiah chapter 50, verses 6 and 7, it says this, I offered my back to those who attacked, my jaws to those who tore out my beard. I did not hide my face from insults or spitting. But the sovereign Lord helps me, so I am not humiliated. For that reason, I am steadfastly resolved. I know I will not be put to shame. Jesus knew what had been written, and therefore he knew what faced him in Jerusalem, and he didn't stop. He kept marching. He kept going for your sake, for my sake, because after 3 days, Jesus knew, I'm going to rise. Glory to God. So we're going to remember today in communion, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what I want this communion to be? A communion of resurrected hope. I want this communion to be a moment in your life when the Holy Spirit begins to blow and flame starts happening again in your heart, in your life. I want something supernatural to take place in your life because you keep marching. You keep walking. In the mount and in the side of your own fear and your own discouragement and your own frailty and your own weakness and your own... You know that the God who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He's that kind of God who never quits. And he never gives up on you. Now, I don't know, when you look at the lot of the disciples and their betrayal of Jesus and their fleeing and their hiding and their denying, those are people you want to give up on in the natural. But Jesus didn't. You know what that does? He gives hope for me. Glory to God. He's not a God who gives up on us. I want to read Psalm 1 to you. I want you to listen to Psalm 1. I believe you need to camp out around Psalm 1, the beginning of this year. Because God wants to prepare you for his blessing. Anybody want his blessing? Sometimes we don't receive his blessing because we haven't prepared ourselves for that blessing. Listen to what it says. How blessed is the one who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway of the sinner, or sit in the assembly of scoffers. This past week, Linda and I went up to see our daughter in Chattanooga, and I did not watch the news. I unplugged from the scoffers. I didn't even look at Facebook, maybe once or twice, so please forgive me if I didn't reply to any of your posts. I was liberated. It was awesome. Some of you have been sitting in the seat of scoffers. Turn it off. Not forever. I think we ought to, as Christians, know what's going on. But let me tell you something. There is a season for you to wait on God and stop listening to the world and listen to him. Listen to what he said. Instead, he finds pleasure in obeying the commands. He meditates on his commands day and night. He is a tree planted by flowing streams. It yields its fruit in proper time. Its leaves never fall off. He succeeds in everything he attempts. I kind of like that. I don't know about you, but I like success in the kingdom of God. Anybody else want some? prepare yourself for his blessing. No, listen to what he says. Not so with the wicked. Instead, they are like wind-driven chaff. For this reason, the wicked cannot withstand judgment, nor can sinners join the assembly of the godly. Paul makes it very clear that this communion table is for those who know the power of the blood of Jesus. It's not for those who have sin in their hearts and their lives. It's about those who know the power of his blood, the power of his sacrifice, the power of his resurrection, walking and working inside of them. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the communion of God in our lives? Listen to what else he says. Certainly the Lord God guards the way of the godly. Thank you, Jesus. He knows how to guard us. Jesus is a better guard than the seatbelt you wear. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to wear a seatbelt. But my trust is in his power. Amen? Don't you just love these masks? No, I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. I want you to know, they don't even know if they're a guard or not. My hope is not in the mask. My hope is in him who is able to guard me. Now, that doesn't mean I go dumb. That doesn't mean I don't use the counsel of people. But I want to tell you, my trust is not in the stuff of this world. My trust is in him who is able to guard me and protect me in spite of weakness, in spite of the lack of knowledge, in spite of the scientific facts that change every day. You know, God's trying to help us realize there are things that are unchangeable. Amen? Certainly the Lord guards the way of the godly, but the way of the wicked ends in destruction. I want to remind you again what Paul told Timothy. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm glad he included that sound mind part. You know, because I met some Christians who lost a little bit of soundness in their thinking and just marched toward things that were not healthy. Every now and then you need the advice of someone. In the counsel of the wise, there's health and healing and safe direction. And then sometimes Christians get it wrong. Sometimes Pastor Larry gets it wrong. I remember one time Linda and I were buying our first house. We were scared. It was a lot of money. And one of the saints in the church came to our house and said, I don't think you should buy this house. I'm a little afraid about you buying this house. I did not need her to say that. And we bought the house. Sometimes you have to discern. Because people miss. And because I bought that house, God blessed me, and it was just a beautiful thing that I was able to do what I have to do today because of I bought a house. Don't let the enemy rob you even from good people. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to tell you this. don't be afraid of tomorrow, because there is a God who walks ahead of us, who has prepared a place for us, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. I'm telling you, there is a God who knows how to resurrect dreams from ash heaps. He knows how to resurrect you from the depth of destruction. He is the victorious one. Follow him step by step, moment by moment, and allow him to take you aside and pour life into you. Why don't you stand with me right now as we take communion? I didn't do this in the first service, and I just feel prompt that we need to do this. If you need this communion to be a communion of resurrection, whatever God's speaking to your life that needs to be resurrected, if you need this communion to be something where God brings fire back to your dreams, back to your hopes, your ambitions, I'm going to invite you just to come and stand before the Lord and take communion today. Just come on, bring the cup, just stand before him right now. If that's you, it may be just one, it may be none, but I'm going to give God an opportunity to breathe. To breathe. To breathe hope. To breathe fire. Oh, God. Let God renew some things in your life that need to be renewed. Oh, praise God. He took the bread that represents his body. God, I thank you for the body given. I thank you, Lord God, that you marched forward knowing what was ahead, because you saw the other side. Thank you, Lord, for the hope, the body given, the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. We thank you, Lord, for your body given. In Jesus' name, shall we partake together? And after supper, he took the cup that represents the new covenant that is sealed in his blood, a new covenant that offers hope beyond. Lord, I thank you for your blood. I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we are healed. We are healed. Thank you, Lord, for your divine healing. The healing of our dreams, the healing of our bodies, the healing of our emotions, the healing of our minds. Lord, I thank you that you're in the business of making us whole through your blood. The healing of marriages and relationships. God, I thank you for your blood poured out. And I thank you, Lord, for the power of that blood that breaks the power of darkness. That the enemy has no place. Cannot cross the barrier of your blood. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your blood over our lives. And God, I ask you, resurrect. Resurrect dreams. Resurrect hope. Resurrect love. Resurrect, oh God, the things that need to be resurrected as we partake of this blood that represents, this cup that represents your covenant with your church, your bride, with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, the church said, amen. Let's partake together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands toward heaven. Say it. Sing it.
What Calvary,
thank you, Lord,
has bought for me.
Yes.
both now and forever. I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. Oh, what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever.
Sing it again. Oh, the joy of Calvary.
What Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. We sing, God, you're so
of the prayer team, just to come, and just as many as you can, just come. We're going to pray for these that are standing right here. I need the rest of you to stretch your hands toward these people that are standing up here right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. And we're going to pray for them. Hallelujah. If you have to, prayer team, just double up on some people and just pray for them. Hallelujah, Lord. God, we thank you for these who've come forward today, Lord. You know where they've walked, Lord God. And you know, oh God, what's behind them. And you know how the enemy has tried to just hold on to them, Lord, in the midst of their stuff. I thank you, Lord God, that this is a season, this is a moment where they get a chance to shake the dust off their feet, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let faith arise in their heart. Let hope resurrect in them, Lord God. May they see beyond, oh God, where they are and what you're going to do in their lives. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the one who knows how to finish what you've begun, Lord. And I thank you, Lord God, for the path that you've set them on, a path of victory, a path of triumphant grace, Lord God, a place, oh God, where they get to see the abundant blessings of God over their lives. And I ask you, oh God, to supernaturally, abundantly do your work in their lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for that holy work in them right now, Lord Jesus. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Would you do that? Hallelujah. I want everybody in this room, I want everybody in this room to pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, prepare me for your blessing. If there are things in my life that I need to get rid of to make room for your blessing, help me. God, I want your blessing in 2021. And I ask you, O Lord, to prepare me for that blessing. And I thank you, Lord, for your hand of blessing and your care and your guarding my life in 2021. Thank you, Lord, that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. And thank you, Jesus, for the victory of the cross and the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. What a great day. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Would you do that? Amen. Live in the Spirit, grow in truth, and love one another. Pray as long as you need to at the altar.